Two Faces Radio.
One of the programs which you hear daily on many of these mutual stations begins like this.
Before I answer any more questions, there's something I wanted to say. Having received all your letters over the years, and I've spoken to many of you, and some of you have traveled, you know, hundreds of miles to be here, I'd just like to say, get a life, will you, people?
Are you saying then that we should pay more attention to the movies?
No, that's not what I'm saying at all. Hey, you guys are the lamest bunch. I mean, I've never seen. I can't believe these people. I mean, I really can't understand what's going on here.
That was William Shatner, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to remind you, Trekkers, that we have some fine refreshments from all over the galaxy. Coke, Diet Coke, Bubble Up, Orange, I believe.
Of course, that speech was a recreation of the evil Captain Kirk. From episode 37. Called The Enemy Within.
Yeah.
So, thank you, and live long and prosper. So everybody, you know, set your faces on stun, because this convention's ahead Warp Factor 9, you know? Right. All right. Warp Factor 9.
It's time for Radio Labyrinth with Tim Andrews, Ira Malkin, Steph Swain, and Jeff Leboff.
Everybody, welcome to episode 36 of Radio Labyrinth. My name is Tim Andrews, joined as always by Ira Malkin.
Hello.
Jeff Leboff.
Oh, howdy.
And Stephanie Swain.
Hi, guys.
Back from her week off. She was off last week, Dan.
And where did you go? Did you go somewhere?
No. I went to bed. I was tired.
No. She just needed a night off, sick of us.
Don't blame her.
Dan isn't just some guy named Dan. This is Dan Carroll. And Dan, please tell everybody who you are and why you're here.
I am Dan Carroll, the Media Relations Director for DragonCon, the world's most exciting event.
And we are only, what, two and a half weeks away?
How many days away are we?
16, 17? We are. I am 14 days away from showing up, and I think the official count is 17 as we record.
Oh, man, I am so excited. I am super excited.
Yeah, me too. I'm a virgin. I can't wait.
And Dan is a recurring guest on this show.
He is a recurring guest on this show.
I am once a co-host. Briefly.
Yes.
You've been on it three times now.
This is
your third visit.
We've never had anybody else.
I think that's 1/12th of all the shows you've had. I was there.
Yes, that is the truth. That is the truth, man. That's amazing.
You gotta do math for that.
And that's all the math I can do. I'm a liberal arts major.
Dan is in official capacity this evening. We're going to do our official DragonCon preview show. And as an official spokesperson for DragonCon, I want to say thank you for coming.
Yeah. Well, thank you for having me. And as an official spokesperson for DragonCon, we support and love all of the media out here in Atlanta and across the country that promote what DragonCon is. It's that amazing event that is almost indescribable because you're talking about 3,500 hours of programming, 75,000 people, five hotels, two partridges in a pear tree.
It must be impossible to listen to every single thing recorded, every show, every interview, but I bet you try.
For myself, I think like a lot of people who talk, I find my own voice annoying.
I've been there.
Yeah. No, it's okay. My ex-wife did too. So.
Your ex-wife found Jeff's voice annoying?
Yes. Yes, she did.
That was
the first thing she told me when she listened to the first Radio Labyrinth.
Yes. Jeff's voice.
Jeff's voice.
That's what you filled in for him.
Who's this clown?
That is good. But we are with DragonCon, like you said, it's so much going on and it's almost indescribable. 400 guests and, 100 folks on the Walk of Fame. It already looks like we have more than that already. It's pretty exciting.
Wow.
Breaking news, Judge Reinhold, but we'll get to that a little later.
This is very exciting for us.
Yes, Judge Reinhold will be here this year, and we're all excited. And like I said, we'll get to that in a second because it's very important that we speak to Judge Reinhold. But... this is curious to me because I've always been involved with DragonCon from a radio standpoint, whether it was when I was promotions director and then when I was producing the regular guys show and other radio shows in this town. It was always, you know, radio, and here's what radio is doing. And I worked in conjunction with the Rock 100.5 promotions team. Everybody that I've ever worked with in that capacity on my end was a big fan of Dragon Con. So we try to do as much as humanly possible on both sides. And this year, coming at it with the four of us here on the podcast and actually being able to be a part of it. So that leads me to say, how many and how long has it taken it for it to grow? Every year, is there like an exponential amount of podcasts and people who host podcasts showing up?
Well, from my perspective, I can only talk to when I took over in 2009.
Okay.
One of the problems we had was that in 2009, podcasting was not what it is now.
Mm-hmm.
And I honestly had a no podcasting rule imposed upon me.
Oh, yeah?
And
that's interesting.
Yeah, well, no.
Well, at the time, it makes sense.
It made sense at the time. And I also had no bloggers. I remember being told that I had allowed somebody in who was just a blog. Well, I was just looking at that just a blog site the other day,
mm-hmm.
and they're doing about, I want to say 1.5 million Jeez. Unique visitors a month.
Wow.
And I don't want to name who it is, but it's a major geek blog right mm-hmm. now.
Okay.
And yeah, that's just it. The podcasting has grown, the blogging has grown, and we still look for distributions. And things have changed a lot. If you're not aware of this, and Stephanie, I'm going to recommend this specifically for you.
Okay.
Go find something called Beatdown Boogie on YouTube. Just type in Beatdown Boogie. And
Jeff,
they were... I'm sorry?
I said, Jeff, are you on it?
Not yet.
Are you familiar with Beatdown Boogie?
No.
Okay.
Tell us about it.
So Beatdown Boogie came on their own dime, not as reporters, just to create videos. And every year they create at Dragon Con a roughly 7 to 9 minute video and then a 22 to 27 minute video of Dragon Con.
Is it of cosplay or is it?
No, it is
of the
everything.
Panels and everything. Okay.
Oh, wow.
Well, no. I mean, it's the people.
Right.
But it's not just the cosplay. It's the people, the crowds. It's very fast paced. It's very beautifully done. It's very professionally done. And these folks also do web series too. But their convention work is where they get the 2.5 million views per video. I went out of my way to find them and invite them.
Oh, cool.
And, you know, I got permission from my boss. I said, we don't normally allow YouTube people to come, but we did that. And now we allow YouTube folks with a large distribution to come and report. And there's a lot of web series on YouTube that are new. And again, with the blogs, you know, we have a podcasting track that celebrates podcasting where there's a lot of discussion and panels. And I would strongly recommend next year you keep this going. You apply to be a guest at Dragon Con and give the presentations
mm-hmm.
And give the panels about podcasting and you know, other stuff that you've done in communications. So,
sounds like fun.
Mm-hmm. I attended the podcast track that year that my friend from Colorado came.
Mm-hmm.
Remember him?
Yeah.
He was into the podcast track, so I went to a few of the panels.
Yeah, cool.
It was very interesting.
Excellent.
When was that 2014 or 2013? It was a while ago.
Yeah, it was
way
a few years
back
ago.
In the day.
That's when I did the reading, right, of Squidbillies.
Squidbillies. Yeah, I think it was that same time.
That was the most exciting thing that ever happened to me down there, to actually be asked to come on and read Larry Munson's part because he had passed away, and I had done him subsequently on the show. You know, so that was cool. I was like, yeah, I'm actually up here and I'm not out there watching. I'm up here.
And on a side note, I'm a big Adult Swim fan.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really awesome to be able, from my point of view. Now, I knew you before you were doing this.
Right.
But to meet the voice actors from my favorite shows and to meet you and well, maybe again, not you, but
yeah, I get it.
But it's exciting, and that's part of living in Atlanta. Yeah. Adult Swim is so ingrained in Atlanta society. You guys had Lucky on a few weeks ago, and
I watched Lucky get his hair washed a couple weeks ago because he comes into the barbershop.
There you go. That's fantastic.
Won't let me wash his hair though.
I would let you wash my hair if it was a option in life.
Do you do scalps, Tim?
I do scalps. So, yep. No, Kevin Galise from Dad's Garage goes there.
Absolutely.
Some other people from Adult Swim that are higher up that I'm not going to mention, but they go there, you know. Not
Can
like
you get higher up than
Well, the people
Kevin?
Who run it in that area.
Oh, okay.
Kevin Galise from Dad's Garage and then Adult Swim people.
Adult
Swim. Yeah.
I was like,
sorry.
I didn't think you could hire at Dad's Garage. Obviously, I'm a huge fan of Dad's Garage. And
Ron White came in a couple weeks ago and got his hair cut.
Wow.
And yeah, he left a voicemail over the weekend. And I recognized that the boss was like, is that really Ron White? You'd know. And I did. So I texted his manager and set it up. And he came in and got a haircut.
Fantastic.
I actually gave up my seat in the chair so he could use it.
Did he have any tater salad with him?
No, he didn't have any tater salad with him. But he did sign the barber pole. And just the amount of, like you're saying, Atlanta is a small community when it comes to that kind of thing. And we all kind of get to see each other and flow in and out of each other's lives throughout the year. And Dragon Con, they all kind of coalesce.
Absolutely. And that's what's great about Dragon Con. We bring in folks. You know, we have a lot of comic book creators here, too.
Right.
That's phenomenal that they just come down the street and then there they are.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I work with somebody whose uncle is a frequent Dragon Con guest.
Oh, yeah?
Mark Bagley.
Okay.
I work with his niece, and he's frequently in the comic book area. So, and that's the other thing about Dragon Con is you don't just have the actors, you have the artists also,
right.
And the creators and the writers.
Well, isn't that what built Dragon Con to begin with anyhow?
Absolutely.
The creative part of it, not necessarily big name actors and the Star Trek thing, but just games and artists and comic books. And
it was breaking that wall and creating a multi-genre convention and also adding the party to it.
Yeah.
You know, other people have told me that they go to conventions and they're not hotel conventions, so the parties end really early.
Mm-hmm.
If they start at all, or you have to have an invite to a party somewhere else, mm-hmm. in order to go to a party. And here we fill up the Marriott Marquis. What level is it? The M level, I guess they call it. it's one above the M. I can't remember what the letter is, but where the Pulse is, we fill up the Pulse area and we keep it going well past 2, 3, 4 in the morning.
And it sells out, right? I mean, the hotel sells out.
The hotel sell out in 5 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. That's
usually
what I'm saying.
I mean, a year before.
All five
right.
Hotels.
Yeah.
We do, and this is for anybody listening who's thinking, oh, man, I'd love to get a hotel and go to Dragon Con, but it's too late. There are hotels available. They're not the host hotels. They're not the five group of host hotels. But we do have hotels in Midtown, and we have hotels in downtown.
Yeah.
The Ramada next to the stadium is one of them that has rooms available. And you
could even get a room like in kind of in the suburbs almost and take MARTA or...
Yeah, right there.
You know, I'm thinking about putting my
I was going to say, Jeff is renting out a room.
Oh, there you go.
So contact us here.
Are you really, Jeff?
No, I have before, though. Have people come and stay with me that want to go to Dragon Con, yeah.
See, I was messing around, but...
Oh, and I was going for the joke about you just got to take care of my cats.
Right.
So...
Airbnb, and then you can watch my cats.
Yeah, no. Hey, here's a room for Dragon Con, $5 a night, as long as the cats are fed. And
I would trust Dragon Con people to take care of cats.
Yeah. It would be super nice though to have a hotel room there and just be able to party all night.
Oh yeah.
One of these days before we get too old to do it, we will do that. But who's too old for Dragon Con? Nobody.
Nobody.
Listen, for people out there listening who don't know the difference between the various cons around the country that are big, and Dragon Con is one of the biggest ones in the country. Is most of them, I would say, and I'm just going out on a limb here, are in a convention center, and the convention center is off on its own. Like here in Georgia, we have the Georgia World Congress Center. It's off on its own, and there's some hotels there, but it's off on its own. It's just a big, giant place, and everything gets shoved into this big, giant place. With Dragon Con, it's downtown Atlanta. Downtown, not Midtown, not Buckhead, not Sandy Springs, downtown, which usually at night is kind of boring. There's really not a lot going on. What Dragon Con does is it brings life to the city and the five different hotels. There's something going on. There's parties. You can come down dressed up as long as you have your, you know, if, as long as you're supposed to be there, you can come down and party and have a good time and watch the other things. And there's things going on in the different ballrooms and bars, and people are doing their own thing. So it keeps this. It's a city within a city, I think. And it's part of that whole Labor Day thing, weekend thing here in Atlanta that just brings so much life to the city. That and the, you know, the football thing, what's it, the Chick-fil-A thing. I don't follow it.
But I always see a bunch of people with football jerseys on at Dragon Con, though, and I'm like, you people are...
Yeah.
In for a treat.
You must be freaking out right now.
You know, I'll throw one thing out to you, though, and that is... Dragon Con tends to have a fairly educated population.
Yeah.
So therefore, we have a lot of people who really care about the Hokies, and a lot of people who care about the Clemson Tigers. So there is a great deal of conversation about that. In fact, one time I was being asked about this by a reporter from a large international news organization that's over by the Omni. And
Bob's News.
And I had emails that day where Pat Henry, who was the chairman of Dragon Con at the time, he's now president of Dragon Con Incorporated. Pat and I were arguing about SEC versus ACC. I'm an ACC guy. I went to Maryland when Maryland was in the ACC. I worked for UNC for a while, big Bowden fan, and he was an SEC fan, and he's okay anyway.
Yeah.
he's still my boss.
Yeah, but I see what you're saying. So it's not like culture shock. It's
no.
People are aware.
No, and I would say the one thing I believe that there's a little bit of presumption that the football fans are being mean to the nerds.
No, everybody's getting along. I just feel that like is, they're maybe not
prepared.
Yeah, they're not expecting to see so much spectacle when they come to town to watch a football game. They don't. Oh my God! There's what's going on? There's 50 Batmans walking.
Yeah.
And Stephanie, I'm going to throw this out to you. Have you seen 4 days at Dragon Con yet?
I think whenever you were here last time, you told me about it, and I did watch it. Yes.
Excellent.
Yes.
There's a scene where one of the football families is really excited that they saw the parade.
Oh yeah.
And
speaking of, this is the first year it's going to be
televised.
Yeah, televised. I just read that.
Yeah, CW is bringing it on.
That's pretty cool.
And it's live?
It's going to be live at 10 o'clock in the morning on September 3rd.
Mm.
And then it's going to be rebroadcast that evening at 8 o'clock in primetime.
Nice.
And awesome. And to make sure that we've got some professionalism, but also we have some Dragon Con, Brian Richardson from DCTV is going to be doing the commentary along with a professional brought in by CW. Oh, we don't have a name yet, so otherwise I'd be name dropping.
Well, what does that mean, a professional from the CW?
Somebody who has worked in broadcast media before.
Oh, I bet
before.
You it's Katie Couric.
They got parade, parade experience.
Yeah, right. Well, at least broadcast experience. Brian is a fantastic amateur, much like myself, or maybe I'm not fantastic, but an amateur like myself. He's a trainer for a large microchip company. Mm. I don't know if I can name companies besides Dragon Con today, but he works for one of the largest microchip and processing companies in the world, and somewhere along the line he actually wrote the code that allowed your laptop to turn onto the monitor if you close the lid.
Oh.
So he's pretty advanced in the computer world, and this is his hobby, to make goofy videos for Dragon Con.
I look forward to Dragon Con parade commentary.
It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be beautiful. And, you know, we always have good weather for the parade. We've never had bad weather. So that is a commitment that Mother Nature has made to the Dragon Con.
Right.
So
Mother Nature loves all sorts of pop culture things.
She does.
She does. She's a fan.
She does. Remember, I'm old enough to remember when she used to sell margarine.
I was just going to say that. In fact, she was very kindly sold margarine. What kind of margarine was that?
I want to say Blue Bonnet, but I'm probably wrong.
Yeah, it might be. Go ahead.
Imperial made you the Emperor.
Dun, da, 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 Imperial. Parquet. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, butter. I was thinking parquet, but butter. Yeah, that was their thing.
Butter. Oh, all right, butter. Parquet.
Why, you son of a bitch. She could get Fred Willard to do the commentary. That's what we need.
Like from Best in Show?
Exactly. Yeah.
That would be so inappropriate, but also so appropriate.
Yeah, it would be.
I'm looking forward to seeing it on TV this year. I don't hate, but it's such a pain to get down there and get a good spot.
Don't say that.
For me, because I go at like 6 in the morning.
Yes.
And I go way before anybody else.
And you wait in line at that Mexican restaurant.
All right.
So am I going to have to do this with you since I'm riding with you?
I don't know. Maybe watch the parade on TV this year and then go down.
No, go there.
Listen, if you're not watching the parade, you can go into the America's Mart. And is that where it is?
Absolutely.
And go shopping.
But you have to get across the road before the road is closed. Once the road is closed, it's nearly impossible to get through the wall of people on one side of Petrie Street, get across Petrie Street, and get across the wall of people on the other
that's
side.
That's the thing that I'm saying that makes it difficult for me, because I need to get down there before the throngs of people show up to get my spot.
But you understand that now that you are reporters at Dragon Con, you are allowed in the reporters' corral.
Oh, there's a
which
corral.
Is a isolated area on the corner of Peachtree and Baker for reporters. Mm. And we take you through the parade up one block and down one block.
Oh, okay.
We give everybody a chance until it gets too hot for reporters and they don't want to go up anymore. And
I'll be there.
It's a lot of fun. Please do.
Yeah, well, I'll definitely do be that there. Then.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
But not just the 75,000 people that are attending Dragon Con watch the parade. That's what I'm saying. There's all 75,000 people that are attending Dragon Con
and
usually
then,
are watching the parade.
And then a lot of people go.
And then like another 75,000 or 100,000 people.
Also watch
because it's a fun parade.
Because it's a fun parade. Yeah.
See, now I believe that only about 20% of the people attending Dragon Con are watching the parade.
Right. Some of them are doing panels and other stuff.
Or they're shopping or going to the Walk of Fame.
5% of them are walking in it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
75,000 people and 3,200 marchers.
Yep.
Yeah.
Are there going to be, like, floats?
There are
two
floats. Medieval Times, one of our sponsors, and Netherworld, one of our sponsors.
Oh,
Netherworld.
Love Netherworld.
That's a great float.
But we also have... I want to say 80 vehicles, 3,200 people. In fact, one of my good friends is bringing his Batmobile.
Always brings
his Batmobile in. And we have a Jurassic Park set of vehicles. We have...
there's got to be some Mad Max there.
A lot of Mad Max.
Some Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters. We've got some of the guests riding in the vehicles. In fact... Some reporter out there has a picture of Billy Dee Williams putting his hand on my shoulder, and I have yet to find the reporter who took the picture, so I don't know where it is, but that's my picture with Billy Dee Williams.
Oh, that's a keeper.
That is, if I find
if
it.
If you could find it.
It's somebody's keeper.
Dan Carroll works every time. Or does it every time. The thing about the parade, there's a million things about it, but there'll be... a squadron of stormtroopers from one faction, then a different one. And then there's guys who modify their outfits. And then there's, games, that have elaborate costumes that I don't know if they cost a lot of money. But they take a lot of time and investment and they look fantastic.
They do. I have good friends who are Halo enthusiasts.
Yeah. That one looks like it costs a pretty penny to make.
I'm not saying that they are poverty people.
No. Well, I mean, people
spend all year between making their costumes.
It's not just going on eBay and ordering a stormtrooper outfit or whatever. I'm just saying stormtroopers. I know there's millions of other things, but putting something together like an Iron Man suit.
Yeah.
From scratch.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's incredible. One of the things that I think is really fascinating is if you look at 4 days at Dragon Con, there's the creation of the steampunk Boba Fett suit.
Mm-hmm.
And John is a friend of mine, and it's just incredible to watch this vision he had come in and, and from wanting a costume at Dragon Con, he's made movies of steampunk Boba Fett doing stuff.
That's cool.
And So speaking of costuming, I got something I really haven't really talked that much about, but I can talk about today. Are you ready?
It's an exclusive.
Yeah, go ahead.
That's kind of an exclusive.
Okay.
And that is on the 26th of August, we will be celebrating Dragon Con in a very special way with the mayor of Atlanta.
Oh, yeah?
And we're going to have a... That's correct. And we're going to have a little get-together with the reporters down there. I guess it would be called a press conference.
Mm-hmm.
And the exact content of the press conference will be announced at the press conference.
Oh, come on.
I don't actually know how to describe it, so there.
Right.
Okay.
This is not my deal. This is way above my pay grade. This is a presentation by the mayor and the chairperson of Dragon Con and the president of Dragon Con Inc. So we're pretty excited about that. On a side note, and this is personal Dan stuff, not necessarily Dragon Con stuff. Uh-huh. The 26th of August, right before Dragon Con every year, my tires explode. I know. I wish you'd seen the look on Tim's face.
For how many years in a row?
Two. And
is this more than one tire at a time?
No, it's one tire per year.
Okay.
The first one actually exploded in my face. Fortunately, I was wearing sunglasses when it happened.
Oh.
The second one just went flat while I was at a station here in town.
Mm-hmm.
I was stuck in Midtown. Waiting to leave from the station, waiting for AAA. So, it was a thing that happened 2 years in a row. So I am actually having a chauffeur take me around because I refused to drive that day. And,
nice.
And I've got another interview in the morning before the event.
Have you been doing a lot of press?
Yeah, actually I have. And it's a gradual thing for me. I like to do the podcast. I like to do the long form podcast like your own.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the folks that I've interviewed with recently have been buddies of yours one way or another.
Rob Jenners?
Rob, yes.
Was he on your podcast or were you on his?
I was on his.
Okay.
I was on his.
With Shaq?
Not with Shaq.
No, it was just Jenner's.
Just
podcast.
Jenner's. Right. Yeah, in fact, he wouldn't introduce me to Steak either.
He wouldn't?
No, he didn't. I mean, maybe Steak was busy, you know.
Yeah,
maybe
probably.
He's, you know, trying to spare Steak. I don't know.
Or maybe the other way around.
But I've started doing the local shows slightly outside of Atlanta, the Columbus, the Carrollton radio show.
Cool.
And it's a spiral in so that by the end of the week, I'll be doing the local Atlanta radio shows by the end of the month.
Great.
So.
And do you have guests that are coming in to do radio and like the big name people that we used to book?
We are working on that. Actually, we've gotten so big that I don't do everything at Dragon Con anymore. We have somebody else handling that specific task of networking with local media on the guest side of the house.
Because, listen, let me read some of the names off this list, okay? There's lots and lots and lots of guests, but there's also the Walk of Fame. And in the Walk of Fame, you see people that you're familiar with on TV and movies and more. You have Gillian Anderson of The X-Files and Hannibal. Adam Baldwin from Firefly, Full Metal Jacket, My Bodyguard. You got Trace.
The Last Ship, also.
Bill and Frank Conniff from MST3K. You got Roger Bumpus.
Roger!
Who was Squidward. Squidward.
I love Squidward.
Kari Bryan, Charlie Cox, Arthur. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. You even got Jack Gleason, who's Joffrey. King
right.
Joffrey will be
right.
there. And you have familiar names. You have people I haven't seen there before. So, and I'm
you
looking.
You have my childhood heartthrob, Gil Gerard, Buck Rogers, who I used to daydream about.
I thought you were going to go with Joey Fatone.
Joey Fatone will be there.
No,
Joey
in my Fatone. Dreams, I was Aaron Gray. I was, and then, yeah.
She'll anyways. Be there also.
I know.
In my dreams, every woman was Aaron Gray.
Garrett Wang. will be there.
But, you know, he is actually a Dragon Con director.
I did not know that.
He is. He is the director of Trek Track or Dragon Con Trek, whatever we call it.
Trek Track.
I just watched a show on History Channel about 50 years of Star Trek that he did an interview on. It was very good.
Is that
He's
a new
fantastic.
Show?
No, it was like a 2-hour special. It was on Sunday night, maybe. Oh.
It is her 50th anniversary.
Okay.
So. God, we're old.
Yeah. I think I'm the only one in the room is actually who watched it on NBC. So
no, I never watched that on NBC. It was canceled before. I got a chance to do that.
I'm really old.
So kind of leads me to my question. Last week, Jeff was worried that you were upset with him about the guests that we had put in to request. And he was worried that you were mad at him.
I was not mad at him.
Okay. See, Jeff,
I told you.
I told you, though, that we were going to get a polite scolding from Dan for our request that we picked.
No, it wasn't. It was not. Okay. So this is what this is a Facebook post that I put in 3 years ago that it wasn't even actually. I'm lying. It wasn't on Facebook. It was somewhere else. And Jack Walsh copied wherever I had put it and put it onto my Facebook page. And it said, when requesting interviews, think about your distribution and your listenership before you make your choices, because you may find that some of the lesser known guests are amazing interviews and help you with your content rather than requesting more popular guests and not getting an interview request.
Right.
Because we don't get to pick who you interview.
They pick.
They pick. And they is the agents.
Yep. Right.
And
oh, okay.
The right. agents make the decision. And I know that you are a friend of DragonCon. I know that you are what we call our people. You are, without a doubt. Tim has stood by me in really dark days in my media relations time at DragonCon, and I appreciate that. And this is one of the reasons why I love your podcast, because I love him.
Thank
Plus,
you.
Plus, you guys do things right.
Aww.
And that's the other thing. The agents don't understand the quality issue. I take the time to listen to as much as I can, so I try to evaluate the quality of folks applying for media. What I was more concerned about was you wasting your votes in times when you weren't going to get what you needed.
Right.
And secondly, our interviews are coordinated. And Sam, I hope you listen to this. And I love you so much, like an office wife and or sister. But she is in Chicago coordinating all this. She is very tight with the agents. She does not know Atlanta media. That's right. Just the thing.
Yep.
I have to be the translator between what's going on here in town and her dealing with the agents. On the other hand, I know nothing about the agents anymore because I haven't worked with agents on a regular basis since 2010. So in DragonCon years, that's like, you know, I guess 36 days later.
The guy who was with Leonard Nimoy, and I remember, is his name Garrett?
Gary.
He was a super nice guy. And I don't forget his last name, but he was the guy that worked.
Well, now that you said that, it's Gary Hassan, and mm-hmm. I wasn't sure where you were going.
No, I just always thought he was, you know, he was very honest. He would say, you're not going to get this. We're not going to help you with this. Not because we don't like you. It's just because we can't make it happen.
We were all aware, though, that we were
probably not going to get
some of the people.
We got Leonard Nimoy because I said, you know, the guys are huge fans, and I made a direct appeal to him, and that's how we got Leonard Nimoy on the phone. And that was one of the best interviews that I think those guys did that year. I mean, it was just a fun interview, and he was cool, and we made him laugh, and he made us laugh. So, you know, and then that was working directly with him. But you don't have that personal thing anymore, really, because everybody's so big, right?
Right. Well, and the convention is so big, and the other thing. And this is why I'm appealing to you people in Atlanta who are listening to this. Come to DragonCon, because DragonCon is all about you guys.
Yeah.
It's not about the media. I have had to, within the close down media applications yesterday, you can't apply to be a media. After noon yesterday, we were hoping to keep it open till midnight, and we ran out of badges.
Mm-hmm.
But I've had to turn down friends this morning. Uh-oh.
Nothing.
Just giving him a time.
Oh, okay.
It's a dance piece of shit.
No, it did not.
That's okay.
No, but we put in some requests for a few of the bigger name guests, knowing that we probably were not going
to
get.
See, we're not supposed to do that.
Yeah, I didn't know anything about anything.
So
it can't hurt to ask. Is my
that's true. Idea. Yeah, I mean, from one point of view, yeah.
No, Jeff, from my point of view, the fact that I reached out to you,
right?
That was me saying, oh no, let me share how things work so they can make better decisions.
Right. Let him guide you.
Yeah. Yeah, no, trust me. You know, the other reporters might be listening up. Dan didn't tell me anything. Dan didn't say nothing to me.
Well, the way I look at it is this is our first time as a show down there, as a group. And, you know, we'll get them or we won't. Right. And that's not going to make anybody mad. So.
and I mean, you know, let's face it. You guys can do man on the street interviews. We always say there's 75,000 stories at DragonCon.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, I intend to do a lot of that.
Right, and you get good content there. You really do. I actually, from my outlet, seriouslydan.com for six more weeks. From my outlet, I couldn't do any reporting. The only time I ever did reporting is if somebody didn't show up. If we had a guest and there was no reporter, I would do the interview. I got to interview Veronica Belmont that way. Got to interview Erin Gray that way. Yes, all women should be Erin Gray.
Still totally gorgeous. Dude.
So totally can I want to tell a story, and I can tell the story because I've told this to her. When I was working the help desk at DragonCon, I would see her. And I would see her in the background with the phone, grabbing the phone, texting, making phone calls constantly, and someone called me, and I think it was one of my kids. I said, "Yeah, Erin Gray from Buck Rogers is here, and I think she's a real estate agent." Yeah. Because she kept stepping, and it turns out that Erin Gray is one of the finest agents in the country. She handles the convention side of agency, and she actually was a mentor of mine, personal mentor of mine.
I remember you saying that when you were here last time. It was pretty cool.
So that's it. But she is not a real estate agent.
I got an email from her years ago about guests, and it said Erin Gray. And
I said, no, not that one.
Well, no. And I had to ask her. I said, "Are you Erin Gray from Silver Spoons and Buck Rogers?" And she wrote back, "Yeah." I was like, okay, that's cool. I'm a huge fan. And then I let it go because I didn't want to geek out. But I used to, you know, when I was a kid, I was like, she's that, you know, sexy lady in the satin outfit on Buck Rogers.
Colonel Wilma Deering.
Yeah, you remember the name. I don't remember her name on Silver Spoons either.
I only watched it because of her, but I remember vividly. I lived in the New York area, so I got the New York Times. I remember New York Times Magazine had a article about her where it was she took up the entire left side of the article. The right side was words, and it was something like the most beautiful woman on television or something like that. And it was just, to this day, I don't know, remember the words, but I remember that picture. And that to me is the Erin I remember.
And he sees her and he goes, ah.
And she wasn't the mom. She was the assistant of the rich dad. Well, she eventually did, but she was the assistant.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, she was the lady that helped the rich guy who can't function as an adult.
Edward Stratton.
Yes, Edward Stratton.
And it's Rick Schroeder, not Ricky.
No, he's Ricky now.
He's back to Ricky?
Yeah, he's been back to Ricky for about 5 years.
Wow.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah, and it comes around.
Why would he do that?
I don't know, man. He was on NYPD Blue, an angry character, and now he's Ricky again.
Is it like a SAG thing? Or?
No, you know, Nimoy did not want to talk about Spock for about 8 years of his life.
Yeah, I am not Spock. He wrote a book.
That 50 years of Star Trek show that I watched on History Channel, it was Leonard Nimoy's last interview.
Oh, wow.
And he said if he had a choice to play any character in the history of television, any show, what character would he like to play? And he said it was Spock.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say T.J. Hooker.
No.
I would love to play T.J. Hooker running across it.
Your toupee not falling off while you jump over the hood. Or the stunt guy jumps over the hood.
Right.
I watched T.J. Hooker. I didn't care. It was a good show.
Heather Locklear.
Adrian Zemed.
Yep.
He's going prowling. Walk, talk like a T.J.
cameo in the last Sharknado.
Oh.
Wasn't he doing double duty? Wasn't he doing Dance Fever at the same time?
Yeah. Or was that Danny Terrio?
No, that was
Adrian's Med took over after Danny Terrio.
I had no idea.
I was a huge Dance Fever fan. Dance Fever and Solid Gold.
Well, real quick about the guests.
Go ahead.
I really, 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 really just want to interview, if we can, and this would be the best gig I've ever
had. We didn't put in a request for him because it was announced after. Well,
I know, but I talked to him.
Okay.
Right.
Judge Reinhold.
And we're going to do everything we can to make that happen.
I know you are. I'll ask Jeff now to quit bothering him on Twitter.
Did you see the other? I mean, we've had guests added after Judge Reinhold.
Now, who are they?
Well, we've got Joey Fatone, who we just mentioned.
I like
we
Joey
just
Fatone.
Added the guy who stars in Sleepy Hollow as Ichabod Crane.
Okay.
It's much more appealing Ichabod Crane than the legend would have you believe.
Oh, skinny.
Yeah, no, he's
yeah.
He was a good looking guy. With the cartoon.
And apparently he's one of the nicest guests we've ever had at DragonCon. And despite what you would think, most of our guests are incredibly nice.
Yeah, I've never had a bad encounter.
And I think it has to do with the fact that they come to DragonCon because it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
We had a few years ago, we had a guest, Jewel State, we're talking again with some executives for a large international news agency over by the Omni.
Mm-hmm.
And she described it as a regular comic book convention and Vegas mixed together.
That's awesome.
How
you
about
had to like that.
Eliza Dushku. Could we have 5 minutes with her?
She was very sweet when I talked
just
to
kidding.
Her. Was it last year or the year before she was here at Dragon Con?
Yeah.
I got her autograph and
mm-hmm.
What'd you ask
talked
her?
To her a little bit about Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, which she was in.
Now,
fantastic.
All these guests that we're talking about, they're in the Walk of Fame. The Walk of Fame is open throughout the convention.
It's it is.
Where you go in and you walk around and don't take your phone out and don't bring your camera because...
And don't go in the outdoor.
That too. But they don't, you know, don't take your camera out because you could be asked to leave and that wouldn't be fun. So just put your camera in your pocket. You have visual memories. Go up and talk to the people that you want to talk to. Get their autographs.
If you want to take a picture with them, though, a lot of them will let you
Some
take
of them
a picture.
Charge
you have to ask.
Don't. Yes.
And the other thing I want to talk about is this is an interview, an autograph room also.
Yeah.
And one of the things you have to understand is that some of the folks that we have coming to DragonCon, this is what they do for a living now.
Mm-hmm.
This is how they take care of their bills. Some of them come to DragonCon just because it's a lot of fun. And these people, this is their livelihood. So don't be surprised if an autograph costs a couple of bucks. And be very surprised if it costs a couple of bucks. But
yeah.
I think right now the going rate is $30-$35 where it starts. And it goes up from there depending upon the value of the autograph, to be honest. And it's not a cynical thing at all. It's just really...
that's how they make money.
You know, this is... You get paid for your job, they get paid for
exactly.
theirs.
Exactly. Right. Yeah, that's the best way to put it. That's their job. And, you know, the two this year that I want, Starbuck. Duh. What's her name?
Oh,
Katie Sackhoff.
Yeah. Oh, God, just kick me in the head.
Good. I knew her name up until you said, I can't remember her name.
Yes.
I got her autograph when she was here 2 years ago.
Well, I need that for I have a Battlestar Galactica collection. If there's anything... Any television, space television show that I'm a total dweeb and dork about, it's that one. That's why last year, Aaron was in town, and I just spent a long time talking to him. We had him on the radio show, and then...
Fantastic.
My girlfriend and I went in the Walk of Fame. I wanted to introduce him to her, and he was so nice. He gave me a picture, and I'd already bought one from him a year before, 2 years before. So I want to get Katie Sackhoff, and I have Candice's autograph already, too. So,
Do you have... Edward James Olmos's?
No. Is he there this year?
No,
but
he was there before.
Yeah,
talk
know.
To me. I have a personal one he gave to me personally, but I have a generic one.
Ooh.
That I won in a raffle once.
I'll trade you something for it.
Yes, we'll do that. Well, you know, the funny thing I was going to bring my bobblehead and my Funko Pop, and I forgot them.
You have a bobblehead from...
Of me.
And a pop.
Oh, of you. Oh. Well, I want one of those.
Yes.
You know you've made it in the industry when you have your own pop and bobblehead.
And then the other one would be Judge Reinhold, just to wedge that back in there.
What would you ask Judge Reinhold?
A lot of questions.
I mean, do you have one big one that you You're not going to close talk him, are you?
No, I don't care about Seinfeld or the television stuff. I want to talk to him about what it was like working with, you know, the people in Beverly Hills Cop. Not sure. Eddie Murphy, and you know, but other people. And I want to talk to him about Ruthless People and what a great movie that was. Yeah. And his character was so awesome in that movie. And, you know, I'm not going to ask him about the masturbation scene in Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Everybody will. Right.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'll have my own questions if we get to talk to him. Right. But, you know, he, to me, is one of those icons of those 80s movies that in every single movie, for the most part, that he was in that I liked, he sticks with me, you know. Just it's just, I can't really put my finger on it. Sure. It's just, I like Judge Reinhold. I can't explain it beyond that.
I believe it's, you know, for me, it's the fact that he was made assistant manager.
Yes. see that sign?
At the end.
Learn it. Live it. Love it.
He was the honorable Judge Reinhold on Arrested Development, too. Remember that?
Yeah.
But that wasn't his first time as a judge, and that's what I would talk to him about, is Clerks.
Clerks.
Oh, he was in Clerks?
He was in Clerks. He played the judge when they sued George Lucas. they sued, Randall sued Dante, or Dante sued Randall.
Is this Clerks 2?
No, Clerks. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me clarify.
The cartoon.
Clerks, the animated series. Yeah.
Dawn of Recognition. I don't remember that. Now I do.
Yes, it was. It was a great series. Lasted four episodes on TV.
Mm.
And I used to live outside Leonardo. Well, Leonardo, the city.
Right.
So that they bring it, but. But the fact that he's done this and he's accepted the goofiness of his name, mm-hmm. and kept going, I think that's fascinating.
So what if it's bigger than a Subaru and costs twice as much? The one I was going to mention a second ago was Kate Vernon, because this goes back to your point a second ago. Kate Vernon, who was on numerous television shows, and you know her from Pretty in Pink. She was the bitchy girl. She's also on Battlestar Galactica. She was Ellen Ty, Saul Ty's wife, Cylon. They're both Cylon. Spoiler alert.
Her dad is...
Well, let me finish what I'm saying. Okay. She's selling her autograph, and she told me she had autographed pictures of John Vernon there, her dad, who was the dean from Animal House, among other movies, but that's where most people would know him from, our generation. And she had these. She said, you found them in an attic, and she was selling them, that he had had all these 8x10s. And I just thought that was really cool, that, you know, there's just a little piece of history that that they found in his house that she can share with fans. So... Huh.
So that's unbelievable. I have never had a chance to meet her. Mm-hmm. A lot of the Battlestar Galactica folks I've met or hung out with, and they tend to be very open to, mm-hmm. They love Dragon Con mostly because of Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Douglas is probably our biggest spokesperson in Vancouver.
Fix my ship.
There you go. But I do want to throw out something else, which is, you guys watch iZombie? Anybody here
iZombie?
So we have three guests from iZombie.
Looking forward to seeing them.
Rose MacGyver, Dave Anders. There's been a lot of stuff. 24, mm-hmm. Heroes. And we also have the incomparable Ally Machalka coming, who had starred in a show with Aaron Douglas called Hellcats. Which was...
That.
Do you remember that?
I don't remember that.
I remember talking about her before.
Yeah. Well, I do, because she's actually one of my Pandora choices.
Right.
Well, maybe I'm thinking the Thundercats.
That's pretty
I'm always thinking Thundercats.
No, Hellcats was about a college freshman who's a cheerleader with incredible abs who solves murders on the side.
We did talk about that. I'm intrigued.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're going to go Google that during the break.
Please
here.
Do.
And when we come back, I want to talk about the app, the Dragon Con app, because this is one of the most useful things you can have if you're attending the convention. It's very, and I have questions about it, and I'd like you to help us navigate that. I also want to talk about some of the events that are going on. I got Dragon Con Burlesque, okay? That's a good tease. Ooh. The Late Night Puppet Slam, Rocky Horror, the largest screening of Rocky Horror, and all sorts of stuff going on. Let's talk about it, and give us a few minutes. We'll be right back, okay? If you like this podcast, please subscribe to us on iTunes and like us and give us ratings. We'll read them at the end of the show. Also, follow us on Twitter @radio_labyrinth and on Facebook, Radio Labyrinth. So tell us about the Dragon Con app. I want to know more about it. I downloaded it, okay, and I know that it's so user-friendly, but explain it to the audience out there why it's essential to have this app if you are going to Dragon Con.
Well, one of the great things about Dragon Con historically is we've produced a great document called the Pocket Program, mm-hmm. and the Pocket Program had a listing of every panel that was going to happen during the Dragon Con time period, which, like I said, 3,500 different panels, hours of programming. And we also had in that a big schedule grid, and we had descriptions of the guests and everything you wanted to know about Dragon Con. The only problem was that we had to publish so many of them, and it was on newsprint. Towards the end of the convention, it got a little rough. Mm-hmm. So what the app does is take all that information, everything that's going on, everybody that's there, everything that you can do, put it into your phone that you can download, that you can program your personal schedule in. And the best part is if you've got friends you trust, mm-hmm. you become friends with them in the app, you can choose to share or not share your schedule with them.
Wow.
And the best part is when you pick things and because you like them, you'll put them on the schedule and you can see where your conflicts are. Because before I became a guy who works at Dragon Con, mm-hmm. I was a guy who went to Dragon Con. Mm-hmm. And that week or two when you got the Pocket Program and you print it out at work, let them use their paper and printer, and yeah. then you sit there with a highlighter, circle this, circle that.
I remember those days.
Yeah, and it's a lot of fun, but now you get to do it in the comfort of your own phone, and and it's really good.
Yeah.
And it's been a huge boon in a lot of ways, mostly ease of use and allowing people to know more things out there. But here's one thing that we tell everybody who uses the app. Go ahead, and after you go to a panel, rate it.
Uh-huh.
If you didn't like it, say you didn't like it. In the more likely event that you thought it was the greatest thing in the world, say it's the greatest thing in the world. And that helps our programmers know what to look for next year and what to avoid for next year. So it also is an incredible tool for communicating between the fans and Dragon Con.
Okay. What are the most popular panels?
I'm going to say, obviously, the most popular panels are the large ones with the big guests that fill the 3,000-seat room, Centennial 2 and 3.
Mm-hmm.
So anything that's filling Centennial 2 and 3 are going to be the most popular.
Would Shatner be in there?
Shatner would indeed be there. In fact, the only time I ever saw Shatner at Dragon Con, I got to sneak behind the stage while he was talking, so I never saw his face.
Okay.
I saw the other side of him.
And he...
the back of the toupee.
Yes. Yeah.
come on. That's been his natural hair for years.
Yeah.
If... he's the kind of celebrity that when you go for your photo op, whatever, he's in a separate room, right?
Right. He doesn't sit in the Walk of Fame.
He doesn't sit in the Walk of Fame.
No, he doesn't sit in the Walk of Fame just because his line is too long for the Walk of Fame. Yeah. So right. He'll have, we've had other celebrities like that. Last or 2 years ago, Carrie Elwes was across the way.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But he's going to be in the area of the Walk of Fame. We're not going to take him to another hotel. We're not going to take him to, he's going to be in the general area.
Right. Do you think it will matter to him at all that he is on my Priceline credit card? I picked him as the picture.
I cannot tell you, but I do want to throw this out, and that is he will only be here on Monday of Dragon Con.
Oh, the last?
He's only here on Labor Day?
He is only here on Labor Day.
Oh, wow.
So,
well, I'm honored that he decided to spend his Labor Day with us here.
That was his thinking, in fact.
Wow. Mm.
Wow.
Wow. Wait, why did I do Christopher Walken's wow?
It was kind of still Kirkian. I got that.
I heard Shatner.
Yeah. Dan, let's get Patrick Rothfuss back at Dragon Con.
I understand that Patrick Rothfuss has a commitment every Labor Day weekend.
Who is this?
Every Labor Day? He came in 2008, right?
He came in 2008, but since that time, he has another commitment. Mm. But I will say this, he is an incredible writer. I've had the opportunity to be on a panel with him. And when he said, "I don't know about that, let's ask Dan," it kind of made my life, and I just decided to quit other stuff. after that.
What does he write?
He wrote a book called Name of the Wind, and the sequel, they're called The Killer Chronicles. And he's known for his meticulousness. His first book he rewrote 300 times.
Holy shit.
Over 12 years. And it started out being a satire, making fun of epic fantasy, and it's now considered the best.
You talked about that.
I did.
Yes, right, I need to get
it. I read it, and I'm on the second book. I'm more than halfway through the second
book. Did you get an audio book or the book book?
No, the book book.
Can I borrow the first book, please? Yeah. Thank you. Okay.
Yeah, it's a load of fun. Now, I also have the book book.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I did not get a chance. I didn't get a chance to get him on the radio show, and I did not get a chance to get him to autograph my book, so sadness. But but you know who do have is Jim Butcher.
Right, I saw that.
Jim Butcher's amazing.
Right.
Who's Jim Butcher?
Jim Butcher wrote the Dresden Files.
I've heard of that.
It's right, it was a TV
our
show.
Dave Owens is really into the Dresden Files.
Okay.
Big Jim Butcher fan.
Wasn't that the bar in Swingers? That's all the Dresden.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think you're right.
That's so money.
Wasn't it a city in eastern Germany that was bombed by the British?
You groans up and you groans up.
So basically what I was getting at is that there's a panel for any kind of interest you might have.
Oh, absolutely.
Star Trek, yeah. Star Wars.
Stuff that if you're not a boomer or Gen X like us that you might be into that we don't know anything about, which I'm sure is plenty.
Cosplay.
And not just fandom stuff. One of my favorite panels ever was How to Be a TV Screenwriter.
Mm-hmm.
And it was... Frank McCaffrey, whose mom, Anne McCaffrey, created the Dragon Riders Pern, very popular sci-fi series. The other person was somebody who had been a writer on Bewitched.
Really?
Yeah. He had been a producer and somebody had been in the industry. He wrote a lot of Bewitched and other shows of that genre, working for ABC, I guess, was where it was. And he talked about amazing stories about California in the 60s and the changes in television when the 70s came. And
I'm a Dick York man. Are you a Dick York or a Dick Sargent man?
I am going to avoid any dick jokes.
No, it's not a dick joke. It's
dick
a,
affiliation.
It's a Bewitched thing.
Honestly, I thought it was a smooth transition.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't know the difference until I got older. I never realized it was two different guys when I was a kid.
Sams were different. One was maniacal and the other one was staid.
I always liked the... my thing was always the cousins. Ophelia was my favorite character in the Addams Family. It still affects my view of women to this day, what I consider attractive.
Right.
It's not necessarily what I consider healthy, but Ophelia was a crazy cousin with the flowers in her hair. And Sam's cousin, who was had dark hair.
Which was her,
but so was Bewitched. Not Bewitched, I Dream of Jeannie.
Yeah, the evil genie was her. Barbara Eden.
The brown-haired one.
Yeah. And were you there? Did you get to meet any of the cast of I Dream of Jeannie when they were there?
No.
I saw their panel.
You did?
Yeah.
Who was all there?
Larry Hagman was there and Barbara Eden.
Wow.
And Major Healy. And my middle name is Healy, and I get made fun of it because all the other kids I went to school with had normal middle names like Robert.
And you were named after Major Healy.
I was not named after Major Healy. I was named after my grandfather.
Oh, okay.
From Ireland. And it just, you know, it was a point of ridicule.
That's a cool middle name.
I was about to say that.
Yeah.
That's a very cool middle name.
Thank you.
Yeah, I like that. That's actually the next dog I have. I'll name him Healy.
There you go.
I like that name.
Yeah. And I'll name my next dog Stephanie.
Refany.
We have a Refany.
Oh, damn it, Dan. You don't even know what a segue you just did.
When I was younger, I watched all those shows on TV constantly, especially Bewitched. I always liked Bewitched more than I Dream of Jeannie, and I always liked the Partridge Family more than I liked the Brady Bunch. As I got older, got in my 20s, I started looking back at Bewitched, thinking, man, Elizabeth Montgomery was a beautiful woman.
Yeah, she was. Mm.
You know, Barbara Eden was sexy and cute with the belly dancing outfit, but man, Elizabeth Montgomery was just classic beauty right there.
I think that's true, and I always preferred the Partridge Family to the Brady Bunch, and I think we've already discussed how bad my musical tastes are, so I prefer the Partridge Family to most music
Okay.
from the 80s, during the 80s.
Right.
So...
Doesn't somebody want to be wanted like me?
I was at a meeting and we start broken to point me in the direction of Albuquerque.
I know that song.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's from the best Partridge Family ever.
Oh, my God. And, we could do a whole show, a whole episode of Radio Labyrinth talking about TV shows from the 60s and 70s.
So this has nothing to do with DragonCon, but in Bewitched, one of the weirdest things they ever did was they kidnapped Boyce and Hart. And Boyce and Hart sang a song called I Wonder What She's Doing Tonight, which is a song I loved as a kid. They wrote the theme song to The Blob. It creeps, it crawls.
Yeah.
They wrote that, but they also wrote about a quarter of the Monkee song.
Really?
And they were my first concert I ever saw. It was Boyce and Hart with Mickey Dolenz and Davy Jones.
Oh, that's amazing.
Wow.
So I Dream of Jeannie has that place in my heart.
That's cool. Very
Mickey
cool.
Dolenz has been at Dragon Con, and yes, so is his daughter.
Yes, she
Amy
has.
Amy Dolenz. She was in that movie in the 80s where she's running up the beach in the bikini, and you're like, hey, it's Amy Dolenz.
Was that like Rio or something? Blame It on Rio?
No, but Blame It on Rio is a good movie when you're an adolescent in the 80s. Yes.
Michael Caine.
Here I am, going to have sex with this lovely lady.
Oh, wait, is he here?
No, this is a terrible Michael Caine.
I like your Michael Caine.
I like Michael Caine.
Oh, that's a really good Michael Caine.
See? Get out of the boat. There is a Portuguese man of war. What was that movie? Anyway, so getting back to
Jaws
Dragon.
3.
No, there was
Jaws 4.
He was in Jaws 3.
He's in Jaws 4.
Jaws 4. Jaws 3D. Yeah. Dennis Revenge, Quaid and Beth, what's her face?
Yeah.
And 3D.
Yeah, it was 3D.
I saw it in 3D.
Yeah, Jeff did too, right?
Did you?
Jeff saw that Parasite, which was the first new version of 3D movies.
Ooh.
With the gray glasses instead of Jeff and Stu went. Our friend Stu saw that movie. Do you remember that? Parasite?
Yeah. No, I don't.
3D used to be good. It used to pop out at you instead of being depth of field like they do now.
But you know what, though? The crossover there is the redo of Piranha.
Yeah.
It came out a few years ago in 3D. Now, that was kick-ass.
Yeah.
And it was very gory and very tongue-in-cheek, and it was perfect B-movie. It was excellent, if you haven't seen it.
I will tell you my favorite 3D movie is called Revenge of the Shogun Women, which is so awesome because it's filmed in China, about China, but they're Shogun Women anyway.
Oh, okay. So, like, they're just coming at you with the samurai swords? You just feel like they're coming right at you?
The hair. If somebody has a 6-foot ponytail, that's a weapon.
Oh, nice.
Let's do a panel on that.
I would do that. I actually own the original movie poster from it.
I feel like we're learning a lot about Dan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like I want to go hang out with him at his house and watch TV.
Watch these big ponytails
Weekend
coming at you, at you.
Yeah.
So getting back to DragonCon.
DragonCon.
Tallulah loved. Okay, I'm just going to read off some things. I went through the events, things that are going on in and around DragonCon. One of them that struck my fancy was Tallulah Love presents DragonCon Burlesque, a glamour geek review. Now, this is Saturday night. I'm assuming it's at night. It didn't say.
It's at midnight, yes.
Okay, Saturday night at midnight going into Sunday, Sheraton Grand Ballroom. Tell us about that. Is it just women or is it men? Is it a show? Is it tongue-in-cheek? Is it burlesque?
It is burlesque. Atul is also very heavily involved with the Atlanta Burlesque and Cabaret Association.
Which is quite big.
It is very big.
They have a lot of fans and a lot of different people participate in it.
And Tallulah has done the convention here at DragonCon Burlesque here. She has performed at the National Burlesque Conventions in Las Vegas. She is... a consummate performer, consummate professional, and she brings a really good, exciting show wherever she goes. And I remember one time I went to a show she did at Friends on Ponds, and it was very different.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she was the only one performing, and she brought it. So I don't know if this is going to be, mixed gender, mixed orientation, but I know it's going to be an amazing cast of performers.
Steph's done some burlesque, haven't you?
You're hilarious.
Back in the 80s, 90s?
Oh, yeah. No, actually, when I was a kid living in Detroit, we had a burlesque theater right on the corner.
Wow.
Yes, of my... And so we would ride our bikes up there, and we would try to listen to the wall and see what was going on in there. But, yeah.
So what was going on in there?
A lot of just... I don't know. We heard a lot of bass. never did really get to see anything. The harbor was what it was called. Yeah.
There's an art form, though, involved in burlesque. It's not just...
Yeah, burlesque is classic.
But my stepdad would always say to me, you better get your ass to school. You're going to end up dancing at the fucking harbor.
You got a harbor for that?
Well, that sounds like a lot of fun. I mean, not just something for you to go leer at women. It's
entertainment. So let me go ahead and throw a couple of points out that you're probably not taking into account. One is that this is a for women, by women event. And I don't mean it's for women empowering themselves and making choices of how they own their sexuality. And that's really important to... at least the people I know who are performing.
I think burlesque, even going back to its heyday, I think that's what burlesque has always been about. Entertainment, but people setting their own limits and setting their own creative license to do what they want with their bodies. I think that when you think of stripping or other things like that, that's different. But burlesque is performance. It's art. It's not just...
and there's storytelling, and the probability is that you're going to be laughing as much as you are worried about anything else going on.
A good example of that is Big Mike Geyer, his Christmas review and his Valentine's Day show. That's mostly topless.
I haven't seen that.
Yeah.
I've only seen the Elvis show.
Oh, that Elvis show is so good.
Phenomenal.
If you love that, then you have to see the Christmas show, because that's just magical.
Now he's Puddles, right? Pretty much just Puddles.
Don't give it away, man.
Puddles. What, don't people know who that is?
Well, they know Puddles Pity Party.
Yeah. Puddles Pity Party.
It's Mike Geyer.
I didn't know that. No, I haven't even heard anything about it.
Now we
got to
edit that out.
No, we're not editing anything. I just sometimes derail people, and I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. But I believe Big Mike is married to somebody in the burlesque community.
Yeah. She does all the press work for Dames of Flame, fantastic, which is a burlesque group that we used to have on the regular
show. They're
show.
Fantastic.
And they were just great dance. They were just fun. I mean, it wasn't like, hey, baby.
It's like they're beyond that. It's not like they're strippers. They're
performers. Not at all. They are. Yeah. And like I said, there's so much comedy involved in this. And, you know, Tallulah was...
Bankhead?
No, Tallulah Love. she and I were recently judges of Project Cosplay here in town, and she also, she ran a school for a while teaching people this, and it's an empowerment thing, like I said.
Yeah, and a lot of, I follow one of the burlesque Instagram feeds. It's men and it's women, and the photography is amazing, and I would just love to go one of these shows, so I'm going to probably check that out.
Please do.
Dragon Con. Another thing that caught my late night puppet slam, tell us about that.
Okay, well, a puppet slam, Bo Brown once described a puppet slam to me like this. It's people who do Winnie the Pooh at libraries all day long, cutting loose.
Okay.
So it is an open mic forum, and in Atlanta, we do open mic.
Yeah.
We do completely, there's no screening ahead of time, and it could be everything from some sort of experimental performance art that looks like it's from Greenwich Village in 1957 all the way up to, here's one of my favorites that Bo Brown himself did.
Okay.
Beavers in Space. And the beavers were in space because they were looking for wood.
Okay.
And some of the beavers were shaved and some of them were
not. Oh, wow.
So it could be anything in between, and that's what you're looking at a puppet slam. It is an adult focused event.
That's adult humor.
That's my venue right there.
And Bo, I'm going to throw this out. We've been doing puppetry for a few years. Bo is not just a puppetry expert. He's been associated with the National Puppetry Slam for years. He runs his own show here in town.
Is he with the Center for Puppetry Arts?
He is indeed. That's his day job. And he builds his puppets on my workbench.
Very nice.
That I donated to him.
That's cool. If you haven't, by the way, side note, if you've never been to the Center for Puppetry Arts, it's an awesome museum. I would check it out. Yeah. It's a great place to take your children and kids, because you'll remember a lot of the puppets. They have puppets from TV, and then they have old puppets from,
Got Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas puppets down there.
Wow.
Look at the birds up in the tree.
We're not birds. We're a jug band.
I loved that. And isn't Dragon Con doing a side event with them this year?
We are, but I want to recommend to everybody that they just let that go, because it is a very small event. Tickets sold out in 7 minutes. But we are doing something special about puppetry, and that is we're bringing Brian Henson in for a Jim Henson-themed costume competition.
Wow.
It will only be Muppet-related costumes.
Oh, they're not dressing up like Jim Henson.
No.
No.
I'm going to do Dr. Teeth.
It'd be very boring.
Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem.
That would be
I'm putting it
fantastic.
Together.
Fantastic.
That would win, right, if I got the whole band?
You know, if I had a church, every song from the Muppet movie would be a hymn.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just saying right now.
I love the Muppet movie
it's
soundtrack.
Fantastic.
I got that for Christmas in 1979.
You know what I got was the when the movie was
80.
Still out, I got the book, and I guess it was aimed at younger kids, but and I was in high school, but it had all the lyrics to all the songs written by the great Paul Williams, and fantastic.
Yep,
he has a podcast.
He's a Twitter. I follow him on Twitter.
Yeah, he's an interesting
guy. Really?
He is, yeah.
The great documentary, Paul Williams is Still Alive, that was out.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
He's such a funny guy.
Especially in Smoking the Bandit 3.
Yeah,
he was little Enos.
Yeah. Yes, I'm well aware of that, but okay. I remember him also from Planet of the Apes 5.
That's right, the one they had no budget.
No
budget whatsoever. Let's just shoot it by a tree while John Huston puts on a mask and, whoa, apes shall not kill ape.
My ultimate memory of him is the creepy that kept the Landers sister on BJ and the Bear.
Yes!
When he kept her in the room.
Yes!
In the brick room. That scared the shit out of me when I was a kid. I was so terrified.
I want to go off on such tangents. Let's talk about Dragon Con.
We will. Let's talk about Dragon Con. You have to come back and we'll do this ultimate TV labyrinth.
After Dragon Con, we'll go down that rabbit hole.
We love having you on the show, so you can come any week you want.
Wonderful.
So, let's see. There's a comic and pop artist gallery. What's this? Because this is cool. It sounds cool. I looked at the page, but I want you to describe it.
Okay. So just like the Walk of Fame has all these great actors and people associated with film and television, the Walk of Fame, the Comic Book and Pop Art Alley has two sections. One is these comic book creators, and to be honest, I don't have memorized who's coming this year.
Mm-hmm. Peter David.
I got to tell you guys, 400 guests, it's really hard to figure out who I'm talking about for this year and who I'm talking about for last year. Peter David, fantastic. I mean, his background, are you aware of just everything he's done?
Yeah.
Young Justice, and he's the one who made Aquaman cool.
I've been with him since the Hulk.
There you go. From the Hulk. And
which was the 80s.
And funny story, he used to be a comic book salesperson for Marvel.
Did he?
And that's how he got to meet the people behind Dragon Con.
Oh, wow.
So they were friends long before Dragon Con existed.
That's cool.
Matt Fraction is coming.
Matt Fraction. And who else? Jim Steranko? Do I have that memorized correctly?
I think I haven't got to him yet in the list, but it's possible that he's on there.
Yeah.
And while he's looking, I'm going to throw out a couple other names. One is Jenny Breeden.
Mm-hmm.
She does the Devil's Panties, local here to Atlanta for a long time. No, it is not satanic porn.
Yeah.
It's just...
I know, my mind was wandering.
There you go. No, it's okay.
I still read it.
The name of the comic book is Devil's Panty, not satanic porn.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
You know, I hate the word panties. Like, I hate it.
Why?
But Dan says it in such a way, he enunciates it in such a way that it just, I don't hate it as bad. But no, I hate the word panties.
You'd prefer it to be panties, not...
No, I just say underwear.
So when you go shopping for undergarments, would you like to take
I just
Dan
say underwear. Because Dan says there's panties.
Panties.
It
well,
doesn't sound
this is what she's doing, not what I'm doing.
Just that you pronounce it like to where.
Well, thank you.
It doesn't disgust me. I just hate that word. I don't know why.
I can also say brassiere. Does that help?
Oh, that is nice.
There you
go.
Titchlingers.
I do not say that.
So,
lingerie.
But also the other side of the house is people who are not creating serial art, and that's what the fancy name for. Comics are serial art.
My grandma called them funny books.
Funny books.
And I would argue with her. I go, Grandma, they're not funny. They're very serious.
Funny books.
Well, one of the funny things is when you're talking about comedians and you talk about creators of comic books and you're like, but the comics and the comics and the comics.
Yeah. Comics.
Yeah. So, but these are folks like, I actually have some art from a guy who creates little squares. They're 12 by 12 of different characters in different situations. I have B is for Bork. For the Swedish chef in my kitchen.
Bork. Yeah. I thought it was going to be Robert Bork.
No. That's so topical. Next, are you going to talk about Selena and Selena fighting with Bieber?
No.
So but we've a wide range of creative folks there, and you get to talk to them, you get to get autographs. And in the other room, the artist alley, that's where we have the painters who are creating the covers for many fantastic and famous science fiction and fantasy novels, but also just art on their own for their own sake. And in the pop art alley, it's weird stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it's folks making dolls that
are fun to check out.
It is so much fun.
Wait, dolls that are what?
Weird.
Oh, just weird dolls.
Yeah, yeah. Scary stuff and interesting stuff and fun stuff. I mean, it's just a cool place to go check everything out.
Hold on. Is Don Rosa coming?
Rosa.
How do you spell that?
Yeah, I think it's alphabetical. I'm not seeing him on the list.
Okay. We've had folks. We had the guy a couple of years ago who did all the art, famous 1970s cartoons for Playboy.
Which guy was that?
I cannot remember his name. And the worst part is I had a meal with him. I still can't remember.
The real artistic, creative stuff.
It was stuff that was funny as all get out in 1974.
Right.
Radical. And
but just the little black and white.
Some black and white, some in color.
Oh, okay.
Playboy, in the day, Playboy wasn't just nudes. It was subversive, I mean, for the time.
I know that.
Art and I'm telling the audience. Literature and art and photography that wasn't necessarily nudes.
Yeah. It was a great interview.
Well, I'm going to throw also that it was mainstream. A lot of people don't know that A Christmas Story was originally published in Playboy.
Really? I didn't know that.
It's a series of short stories that were originally published in Playboy in 64, 65.
Fragile.
Wow. There you go.
Fudge.
Well, that makes sense now, you know, because of the eroticism of the leg lamp or what have you.
Mm-hmm. No, it's because that they were the last person publishing short stories in America. The last company.
Wow, really?
Yeah. They were there was a New Yorker. By 1975, the New Yorker and Playboy were the only ones paying for short stories.
Playboy used to do a short story contest every year.
Yeah, and they were paying $500, which was the same price for a short story in 1933 at New Yorker.
Much more highbrow than the penthouse short story.
Never thought this would happen to me.
Hey, how about those Braves?
Yes.
I haven't been to a stadium lately.
I haven't either. And I did go to two games this year, and that'll be it because I refuse to go to Cobb County, but that's neither here nor there. Rocky Horror takes on Dragon Con. This is volume 19?
Yeah,
no, 14.
Oh, my God. It's so great. You 14. Know, Candace and everybody over at Lips Down at Dixie, they come back every year. Sometimes we have Rocky Horror guests, and it's fantastic. Sometimes we don't, but Lips Down and Dixie have been doing this at Plaza Theater year after year, week after week, and they bring it to Dragon Con. And one of the things that we're really excited is that the folks from Welcome to Night Vale are excited about Lips Down and Dixie. Mm. They said, we're going to Dragon Con. Cecil said, we're coming to Dragon Con, and we hear they have a really good Rocky Horror show.
3,000 people.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Hyatt Regency Centennial Ballroom. So,
absolutely.
We're all going to have to take a lot of Vivarin that day. Do they still make Vivarin? No dose. No dose.
I get some gas station cracks, some Stacker 3s. Up on that shit. Yeah.
Stacker 3.
I think there's something with the Bumblebee. I've seen that.
Yeah.
Now, we're going to start winding it down, but I want to make sure that we've covered. If there's anything that we haven't covered that you really want to hit, please do.
Well, I want to throw this out as a personal plug, and that is, I mentioned Candace from Lips Down at Dixie. Another thing she's doing at Dragon Con is Project Cosplay.
Okay.
I actually don't know where that's located, but I'm going to be part of that, and I do Project Cosplay during the regular year. Mm-hmm. We do it at Joystick. We'll be doing a Joystick this Thursday, but at Dragon Con, it's a little bit different. It's me, Moxie, and Magnus, who is the beautician on the USS Enterprise, pretend.
Mm-hmm.
She's a fantastic woman, and she comes in with her really, really super high bouffant hairdo.
Okay.
And we are going to be making fun of the people building costumes of Project Cosplay. We drop a pile of crap on the ground. They have to make a costume out of it based on a theme they don't know about until they get there.
Huh. And that's this Thursday?
This Thursday, yes. We're doing it this Thursday, but we're also doing it at Dragon Con.
Okay, okay.
Saturday, 10 p.m. And for years, I have avoided trying to do anything at Dragon Con because of my responsibilities. I have expanded my team, given them jobs to do.
He's delegated.
And told my boss that I'm going to enjoy Dragon Con this
year.
You're
cut loose. Oh. Have a good time.
And I also have on Friday night, I'm doing a one-man show, online dating, the MMORPG. And I compare online dating to the World of Warcraft.
Okay.
I compare Tinder to Pokemon Go.
Uh-huh.
I talk about the experiences of trying to date in a suburban world of Georgia with my geek cred and orientation.
Uh-huh.
And let me tell you, that's not always fun. And then we do some serious questions and answers at the end, but it's primarily a comedy presentation with some reflections and taking questions and answers. And I promise that if I'm not funny, I will throw candy in the audience. So so at least there's a reason to be there.
Speaking of the Project Cosplay at Joystick Bar, I'm going this week. It's Thursday, 9 p.m., Joystick Game Bar on Edgewood Avenue in Atlanta.
I've been wanting to check that out, too. Maybe I'll go.
Around the corner from where I'm working now, which is Mary Todd Hairdressing Company.
Mary Todd. Lincoln.
That's right. On Carroll Street in Cabbage Town, right next to Littles.
Very nice. That is also a street name I enjoy very much.
What's that?
Carroll Street.
Oh, Carroll. Oh, yes, I imagine.
I remember.
They're fans of you. You know, they're the daughter of the owner. She does cosplay, Forest Gardner.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Uh-uh.
Well, so one time, so Forrest keeps changing her name on Facebook. And Forrest and I met at another convention, and unfortunately, she introduced me to her friend. She was trying to get me to help her friend.
Yeah.
And the last time I gave her a shout out, she goes, "Oh, that's great. My mom loves you." And I'm like, "I have no idea who your mom is." So
she does, though.
Because you keep changing your name. But that's fantastic. Yeah, that's because cool. I recently said that I try to do as much as I possibly can to love as many people as possible, and I'm up to like 97% of the folks I know, which is not bad.
Yes.
But
my percentages are way lower than
yeah.
that.
No, well,
I mean, I know I need to work on that. That's why I like you, because you're able to help me see, well, you know, you don't have to hate people.
He's an inspiration.
No, because it's not worth it.
No, you expel way too much energy.
Yeah.
Yes. We are going to be doing the show from their house next week, and yeah. Forrest will be there. So,
I'm very excited about that.
Yes,
that's fantastic.
I get to finally meet Lisa.
And yeah, and Sean.
Well,
I mean don't diss Sean.
I mean, Sean's whatever, but I'm saying Lisa is the one that I talk.
Sean's going to beat up Jeff for making fun of the Jack Daniel's statue.
I thought it was an awesome Jack Daniel's
statue. When do you talk to her on Twitter?
Yeah. She's like my,
Lisa
my mental Krause. Doppelganger. Where?
Interesting. I just joined in Snapchat.
Did you?
Yeah, this week.
Oh, yeah?
I don't think I'm going to last long.
Yeah.
Why?
I have a Snapchat. I've never used it.
Well, first off, I'm old enough to be fully bald, and and I knew I was in trouble when my daughter said, "You know, did somebody send me a Snapchat imitation with your invitation with your name?" And I'm like, "That was me." And she goes, "Nah, that's not going to happen."
Yeah. No. Go ahead.
You should, I was going to say, you should just do the filter and give yourself like an afro. I mean, that's what you should do. You can. She wouldn't even know who you were.
That is.
You can make yourself look crazy.
Can Daryl.
She has actually seen pictures of me with an afro.
Oh, wow.
That was my organic hair.
Oh, I want to see this.
Yeah, it was Bobby Hedges from Welcome Back, Cotter.
Bobby
what
Hedges.
If Dan Carroll was on Welcome Back, Cotter?
Well, anything else? Because I want to make sure, where can people get
tickets? www.dragoncon.org. You cannot get tickets. You can get badges.
That's what I mean.
And I want to throw one other thing out is we mentioned Judge Reinhold. He is doing a great thing. It's called DragonCon at the Aquarium Saturday evening.
Wow.
And it's going to be him with Riddle, one of America's foremost cosplayers, mm-hmm. are going to be doing a judging a contest because his name is Judge.
Uh-huh.
And it works out fine. And also going to the aquarium and seeing everybody in costumes is just I have been told just almost sublime. And I would have gone this year, except I've got a performance that evening.
Are the fish going to be in costumes?
The fish are well, always in costumes.
The great white dresses up as Jabberjaw.
Oh, perfect.
And the rest are cosplaying looking for Dory.
Well, we are going to be down there all weekend long doing various things. Hopefully we'll get interviews. If not, we'll talk to you. I mean, there are so many interesting people down there that we'll not have any trouble getting. We're going to do a special show after Dragon Con, like a recap. We'll talk about what we did there. We're going to interview different people, and so I'll compile that all together. And it's just, you know, lots and lots of fun. So I want to make sure that if you want to go, you get your badge, not a ticket. You need a stinking badge. You need stinking badges.
You need stinking badges.
I'm not going in cosplay, but I was going to ask around the room, the panelists here, Steph, if you could go in cosplay and you had time to make the costume, who would it be?
If I could and I had time, I would be, let's see, jeez. You put me on the spot, Tim. Can we come back to me?
Yeah, Jeff's already done it once.
What?
You went as the comic book guy.
Oh, comic book guy.
Yeah, from The Simpsons. But if you could be anybody other than that, who would it be if you could do a costume this year?
I was thinking about doing that guy Bobo from Finding Bigfoot. You know who that is?
Yeah.
The big guy?
Yeah.
I was thinking about doing that.
If you can do it, what would be the holdup?
Well, you know, you got to get the Bigfoot necklace and then grow my hair out or get a wig or something. And
well, there's already Halloween stuff popping up. Get a wig. Ira?
I'm thinking. I think I would do Christian Slater, Mr. Robot.
Mr. Robot.
Right? Get the jacket.
Yeah.
The hat.
My trouble.
The elf puppet.
The elf puppet.
Yeah, God, that was
crazy. I have a problem because I wear glasses, and all the characters I think I would be able to do don't wear glasses, and I think you look silly with glasses if the character doesn't wear glasses. Because I was thinking about doing Negan from The Walking Dead, but he doesn't wear glasses.
Yeah, but don't let that stop you. Mm-hmm. You know, with the exception of things that are ethnically or gender insulting.
I couldn't be Sulu.
You can buy they had the bats, full size bats at Comic Con for sale too. You can buy them now from.
Well, you know, we also have 12 or 13 football fields of vending, so you'll probably be able to find some there too.
Yeah. I think I would go retro. Yeah. I'd do like 80s. I would either be Sloth from the Goonies.
Huh.
If I could get that kind of makeup, I would do that.
Jeez.
Or I would be Captain Lou Albano.
Oh, please go as Captain Lou Albano. The Hawaiian shirt.
Put the rubber bands in your beard.
Dude, you know it. The rubber bands. Or I would be, what's his face? The one who used to eat the turnbuckles.
George Animal Steel,
yeah, Detroit.
One other thing.
You've already got the chest turned.
Dragon Con has wrestling.
We do have wrestling. In fact, this year is the first year we have programming on Thursday. This is our first time programming on Thursday. It is wrestling.
A
welcome to Dragon Con New Year's Eve party featuring Tallulah Love.
Yes.
And her amazing husband, Dr. Q, who runs a steampunk track. He's a DJ here in town.
Mm-hmm.
He runs electric swing stuff in town, and this guy's always got his hands in something, but he takes care of our alternate history track, which is steampunk.
I love alternative history stuff. It's great. Which leads me now, and I want to make sure that we've covered what you think we need to cover, because we could talk for hours, but we do have to wrap.
Yes.
And I could talk more and more with you. I want you to come back. I want to talk about TV shows, because we definitely are in the same wheelhouse.
Yeah, well, I never feel like being interviewed here. I feel like I'm just hanging out with buds.
Shooting shit, right?
Yeah, you are.
Yeah. That's it, yeah.
It'd be cool to have you back, though, after Dragon Con when the pressure's off and we can all just cut loose.
Yeah.
Well, he's not going to want to think about Dragon Con.
Right.
So a lot of people get what's called post-con depression. Right. Please be aware of that, Stephanie. Post-con depression.
Oh, another one.
It is not a thing I understand.
Oh.
Because when this is all done, I kind of get to breathe for a little bit. And I'm closing down my podcast and blog in September and starting a new venture.
Oh.
So I will be working if everything goes well, I will be YouTubing.
Oh.
So I want to come here and pimp that out.
Yeah.
I mean,
What?
You can YouTube us.
All right. Well, we got staff picks. Did you bring a staff pick? Dan, Carol, do you have a staff pick? Anything you watch or reading or anything new or whatever?
Wow. I was just thinking, I didn't have a chance to talk about BoJack Horseman, the greatest thing ever.
Yeah.
So BoJack Horseman is, have you seen BoJack Horseman?
I've never seen it ever.
So it's funny.
BoJack Horseman is a TV show. It's a cartoon about splitting my personality into two and creating a horse to represent my romantic entanglements.
Yeah.
And creating a Labrador Retriever to express what I'm like actually living with.
Okay.
And somewhere between Mr. Peanut Butter and BoJack Horseman lies the truth about myself.
Okay.
And I tried to watch the first episode, I never went back to it, and somebody told me just start at four. and I started on episode 4, and I just fell in love with it. And also, the first season is one of the funniest things ever written, and the second season is one of the best dramas ever on television.
And of BoJack Horseman.
BoJack Horseman, it turns incredibly dark.
Okay.
It's super dark.
All right.
And it gets darker in the third season.
So dark.
Third season just came out, and I'm waiting for Rick and Morty so that can usurp.
Yeah.
So I like my entertainment animated.
Did Will you watch Forte, right?
Will Arnett.
Will Arnett.
Okay. Will Arnett, yeah.
Did you watch Flaked?
I have not seen Flaked
yet. That's really good.
F is for Family is also on my list.
I liked it.
My pick, Sausage Party. We got to go see that, Tim. We were going to go.
Oh, but you haven't seen
it. No.
Can you recommend stuff that you haven't seen?
Yeah, I think so because it did well.
It had like 40 million this weekend.
Here was the selling point after the weekend was over. Not the selling point, but the icing on the cake was this was original. This was an idea that somebody had, that somebody gave them money to make, right. And it was original.
Yeah.
You know, every day now there's a new
reboot
coming out. Interview with the Vampire is being rebooted. There was another one I posted later after that. Jeff posted Interview with the Vampire, but there was another one. There's Ocean's Ocho is coming out.
Yeah.
I'm not going to complain about it right now, but we talk about it on the show a lot. We call it hashtag bad reboot.
Right, that's a legitimate concern.
And yeah, I mean, it's not necessary. No.
I just like seeing all the pictures people are posting of movie theater signs saying, like, please don't bring your kids to see Sausage Party.
Yeah.
That movie's for us.
You would think by the name of it that should let you know, but okay.
Yeah. But the animation style just makes people think it's a kid.
Of course.
Of course.
Okay, my pick is that new Cranston movie came out. Yes, The Infiltrator, which it was playing in limited release. I actually had to go to Skeevy Regal 24 off of 85 and risk my life. And it's so smelly in there. I'm not even kidding you guys.
I've seen plenty of movies there.
It's so wet in there, isn't it wet?
Well, it's damp because that area over there is humid.
It feels like you're in a. It feels like you're in a Motel 8 like 1985 where they got the AC unit in the wall. But you don't care because the movie's But it was moist. It was a moist experience. But the movie was so good. I really didn't care. But anyway, The Infiltrator, if you didn't know this, it's based on a true story. It's the autobiography of Robert Mazur, who was a U.S. Customs Special Agent back in the 80s. And he's the one who brought down Pablo Escobar's money laundering operation here in the U.S.
Hmm.
So this whole movie is like every character in it, they're all factually based. They even show Barry Seal, who was one of the informants. They actually show archival footage of Tom Brokaw announcing his murder.
Barry Seal, wasn't he also on something to do with Iran-Contra?
Yeah, all of that was all tied together.
Dan probably knows all the truth.
Yeah, this is a really good... And then Barry Seal, I'm watching it, and I'm like, who the hell is that? I know who that is. Freaking Michael Pare.
Yeah.
They dug him up. I hadn't seen him in a minute. And then, not to mention, I'm watching it, and his sidekick... I mean, John Leguizamo is fantastic in this. Him and Cranston have such great chemistry. Leguizamo plays another agent, and they're both undercover. And
love that guy.
But then this guy that he goes and gets out of jail, who kind of knows, he's helping him pretend to be this guy, Bob Masella, who's this shady businessman, and he infiltrates all these things or whatever. But the guy he goes and gets out of jail, halfway through the movie, it dawns on me, it's freaking Gilgan Cassidy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and he plays this guy with the New York accent, and you would never know he's British in a million years. He is a hell of an actor.
Huh.
So, overall, I mean, it's not a perfect movie. I think it's getting 68% of Rotten Tomatoes, which is, to me, I'm a 68, 70-something percenter, or I'm 90 to 100.
Okay.
Anything in the 80s I don't like, usually, because that's mainstream gibble-gabble. I don't really care about it.
Gibble-gabble.
Yeah, but high 60s, that's kind of like us. It's outside the frame. But it's really good. I mean, especially if you miss seeing him as Walter White. You get to see some of the paradigm. You know what I mean? You definitely see that here. But also, and I wanted to say this, at the end of the movie, it has a great soundtrack, by the way, because it takes place in 85.
Oh,
end
cool.
of the movie, they close with Eminence Front by The Who.
Oh, yeah.
I've had that crap on repeat for a solid week now. I keep listening to that song like over and over. Like I feel like if I just keep listening to it, it'll just be 1985. But
my band used to cover that, actually. We used to do like a rocked up version of it.
That is a jam, man. Yeah. And it was perfect to end this movie with. Anyway.
It's really a put on.
It really is a put on.
It's a put on.
And then my lesser pick, my side pick, is the season of Hard Knocks on HBO. They're doing the LA Rams, and it's really, they got Jeff Fisher.
Well, they're in LA now.
Yes, and so you get to see the whole move of it, you know, and then what it's like for them to, which I always love Hard Knocks.
Are they in the Coliseum?
They are, yes. Yeah, I mean, oh, dude, their dorms, whenever they were doing practice, they're the only team in the entire NFL that didn't have air conditioning. So they they ended up buying them all personal air conditioners. But one of the funniest things is, you know, they have the rookie quarterback this year, Jared Goff.
Mm-hmm.
They get the quarterback coach. He's saying, you know, quarterbacks are normally pretty smart. you know, we asked Jared Goff, where did the sun rise and the sun set? And he did not know. Yeah. He went around there and he really did not know. And he didn't understand that this was common knowledge, that most people knew this. Oh, but then later on, one of the rookie receivers, once Jared Goff finds out that it's the East and the West, he asks this rookie receiver, he's like, do you know where the sun rises and sets? And he goes, in the air.
All right, so that's on HBO.
Yes, Hard. Yes, you will love it, and Jeff Fisher is fantastic.
You got one, Ira?
Well, I don't have anything new because I went out a lot last week and I wasn't watching a lot of TV or consuming anything. However, a friend of mine and I over the weekend were getting into a discussion about the Cormac McCarthy book, The Road. You know that book? That they made into a
super
movie.
Uplifting story.
Well, have you
feel
read
good
it?
Hit of the yeah? I've read it and seen the movie.
I think it's a great book.
It's a great book.
I've loved it.
I did it on audio.
Did you?
My daughter and I went on a road trip. We made it through half the first CD, and then we switched and went to World War Z.
Yeah.
And we never looked back.
On audiobook, which I tried first.
Yeah.
It is so depressing.
I'm sure.
Yeah, that so
it
I
is.
Just,
it's depressing, but I don't know. I couldn't stop reading
the boy,
that thing.
The boy, and he kept worrying about the boy. Okay, my picks is fantastic book.
It is
and good movie. My picks this week: Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast. His guest yesterday, or this week's episode, is Matthew Broderick, and
I
it's really good.
Excellent.
It's a funny interview. Matthew Broderick loves Broadway so much that he did a matinee show. And then he went to record the podcast, and then he left to go do another show.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's dedication. He's an actor. And then the other one is something I just discovered. We may have even brought it up here before, but I don't remember. Dan Carlin's Hardcore History. It is a podcast, and he is a journalist who does these super long, and they take a while to produce because they're very long and they're very detailed. Descriptions of historical events and laying it all out for you in a way that you can understand. I just jumped into the one and it's about World War One, and you know, I'm 2 hours in or an hour and a half in, and he hasn't even started with World War One. It's all the preamble and how it started in the 18th century with the formation of Germany after the Franco-Prussian War. See, but there are people who are into history. I love history, and this kind of stuff to me is fascinating, and you know, everything that kind of happened in the 20th century after World War One, I mean, it's still going on today. Look, the war in Serbia from the 90s or whatever. So anyway, it's a good podcast, and it's not just World War One. He does all sorts of different things. So check it out. It is, again, called Dan Carlin's Hardcore History.
All right.
Cool.
So that's the show this week. Dan, have we covered everything?
I think we have www.drankcon.org for more information. And if you're a reporter, you want to find out more about reporting, MediaRelations.DragonCon.org, or you can reach me at MediaRelations@DragonCon.org. One has a dot, one has an at, one is a website, one's an email.
So you can remember all that. And I'll see you Thursday night at Project Cosplay at Joystick
Bar.
Yeah,
please do. Come on down. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's always a lot of fun. This time, I guess, a bag full of DragonCon swag to throw out at the audience.
Ooh.
And I will have both my bobblehead and my my Funko Pop with me.
Can I get a picture of them?
You can.
Can we get a picture of all three of you?
Yeah.
All three of us.
And next week, like I said, we'll be doing the show live from some listeners' home.
We're going to be live?
We're not going to be live. We're going to record it live.
Record live.
at somebody's house in Stone Mountain, and more on that, because we're going to give that opportunity to other people, but that's down the road. Very, very far down the road.
I thought you said they were in Sandy Springs.
Huh?
I thought you said they were.
They're in Stone Mountain.
My neck of the woods. That's right. You can drive this time, damn you.
Yeah.
I'll see you guys at 10.
Yeah, then we're not even going to do it. All right, we'll talk to you soon, and until that time, please remember to keep it canon.
Two Faces Radio.